Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
One of the treats that I have in having this job is I get occasionally to have coffee with interesting people. And Marshall Cho, the boys basketball coach at Lake Oswego High School, who I think is one of the best high school basketball coaches in America, sat down for coffee with me. I think it was about a year ago. We had coffee. We talked. It was a fascinating discussion. I left thinking about a lot of things. I want to bring him back on the show. We're not having coffee, but he's joining us. Marshall Cho, where are you right now?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me. I'm calling you from Dallas, Texas, where my in-laws live. So we took a long road trip this weekend, and we're hunkered down now in Dallas, trying to hide from the heat.
What was it like to travel amid this pandemic and kind of see people as you move across the country?
Yeah, we took a route going through Idaho, down through Utah, New Mexico, and then just a straight shot on the 40 all the way down to Dallas. It was interesting. You know, a lot of people, again, I know that in our state, in Oregon, we took a pretty conservative approach to, flattening the curve. Just saw a lot of people just not in masks. I know just even here in Texas, you know, things are a lot more open than what we had back home in Oregon. So, but we got two young kids visiting the grandparents, so we took every precaution that we could.
Marshall, you and other high school coaches do a tremendous service to kids. You're getting them at an age where they're incredibly impressionable. It's a pivot point in their life. You could be, and you have been at other levels with USA Basketball and in college. Why the high school game? Why do you like it there?
You and I had an exchange briefly when I saw the article you wrote for Keenan Lowe, and there was a passage that you said that stood out to me, you know, about how so many of us work, you know, equivalent of pennies per hour, and you know, we're fighting a good fight. And I think there's two things, you know, why does it have to be a good fight for us? You know, I think a lot of times the high school profession as a coach has become a really tough one. And so my question always is, you know, having just completed my fifth year, is why does it have to be a good fight? Why is it a fight, right? Why is it that we don't treat coaches as teachers and look at the work that we're doing on the field and on the court as an extension of the classroom? And so, you know, that's something I'm trying to explore now with all the time I have left on my hands. And then what is a good fight? You know, just Kevin Love just recently being recognized, winning the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. If you had a chance to see the video, the 8-minute clip that they played, you know, before he accepted the award, there's clips of him, you know, wearing the Lake Oswego uniform and representing our community. But really, he talks about the struggle that he had, you know, beginning in junior high. And, you know, for me, I don't know if I'm going to have another caliber of player like Kevin Love walking through the door, but I do know that I have future leaders, future politicians, future CEOs, future teachers and coaches who, if I can serve them in any way, just like the way Kevin's, you know, modeled for us to follow, then it's really all worth it. So the reward that we get back, you know, just from the impact that we're able to have is worth well beyond the pennies that you mentioned in the fight.
One of the things that bothers me kind of about the club basketball and club sports scene in general is you get kids who will jump from club to club because the coach is not telling them what they want to hear, right? They all want to be the star on their team, and they want playing time, and they want the offense to revolve around them. How do you navigate that as a high school coach and a guy who, you know, you're plugged into that club scene as well? How do you sort of, you know, manage expectations, but also get kids to buy into what you're doing. Because I watched you last year. You're in a loaded league, and you got that team playing as, you know, with one mission and one goal.
Yeah. You know, right before this call, I had a chance to hop on to a Zoom call that the junior national team director, Samson Coyote, was holding with some young coaches. And you know, even at the USA basketball level, you're talking about all the, you know, players who have handlers, who have all these people in their years. And he was sharing with these young coaches that, you know, it always starts with honesty. As long as you're telling them the truth, you know, and earning trust that way first, and between families, right? So not going through club coaches or workout guys or whatever. And I think there's a time and place for those as well. But just for me, coming from a high school coach's perspective, if I can't tell my players the truth, I can't do my job. So, you know, it's taken some time for me to be able to, you know, earn the credit to be able to do that. I have a lot of really good assistant coaches who are, some of them work in the building, others who, you know, also hold other full-time jobs, but come in and pour into our kids for a couple hours out of the day. I mean, a couple hours, you know, we're talking, my assistant coaches spend probably 4 hours on a day, you know, during the season at least. But the biggest thing for us right now is being able to tell the truth to the kids, having the parents buy in and supporting us. And again, I think it takes time is the biggest thing. You mentioned our season last year. That's 5 years in the making, and we've had some track record of success. So, you know, the parents trust that we have their best interest at heart. And, you know, when they see it, when the kids come home and they're able to talk about the lessons that they learned on and off the court, the buy-in is always there. So it's been a rewarding experience, but the truth piece is huge, John.
Marshall Cho is our guest, Lake Oswego boys basketball coach. When you were hired, you're hired, and you know, I thought, parents, Lake Oswego, here comes Marshall Cho. He's walking into the Wolves' den, and you have navigated that well, and I think there's an art and a science to that. You're managing not just your team, but you're also managing parents in today's world as a high school coach. So how do you do that? Do you have conversations with the parents, or do you tell the parents, look, I'm your kid's coach, my relationship needs to be with the kid?
Yeah, you know, two things I'll say about that. You know, I was really fortunate. I did have a wealth of experience having had the opportunity to, you know, coach overseas in Mozambique and Africa. I had a chance to be one of the powerhouse programs, a coaching staff at the Matha Catholic. But, you know, I hadn't been a head coach yet in the state of Oregon. So, you know, it took courage on the part of the administration to hire me. And, you know, there was some testing out period, you know, even for the parents to see if, you know, I was going to walk the walk that I promised. You know, in this day and age, I think it's really critical to involve parents because, you know, on one hand, you know, I would say I see my players more than the parents do, right, during the course of the season. Or, you know, case in point right now in the month of June, there are days because we're working camp, we're having morning workouts before camp, summer league games after, I'm spending, I could spend a 12-hour day with, you know, a son of, you know, one of our Lake Oswego parents. So for them to understand that we have that much time invested into them, you know, I think the biggest thing I would say about, you know, what you said, the Wolves' Den or whatever you want to say, I don't think that's just for myself and Lake Oswego. I think that's a challenge that most high school coaches have. What I've learned in the last 5 years is that it's the same thing I learned, you know, living in Harlem for 6 years straight out of college from University of Oregon. You know, what people think of Harlem is different than what you actually live. You know, in Mozambique, same thing. You know, my experience is unique to that part of, you know, the continent that is so vast, so wide. What I found for our community, you know, is we have hardworking people. We have people with different, you know, coming from different backgrounds. We do have, you know, players coming from single parent situation. Maybe that's something that you might not assume, you know, of a kid playing, you know, putting on a Lake Oswego uniform. One of my proudest players that I ever coached any level was Fred Harding. 2 years ago, he was homeless for a stretch. Homeless, you know, a Lake Oswego player. Those are two contradicting, you know, thoughts. Again, and I think, it, you know, this, I didn't plan on this talk to go this direction, but when you think back to what Kevin said in his Players, you know, Players Tribune article, everyone is going through something you don't see. So, you know, the other piece of that is the huge piece about mental health, the amount of academic and social stress that our players are under. I know that, you know, the privilege that a lot of us, you know, I'm raising my own children in Lake Oswego, so I understand it. The privilege that, you know, our kids may have financially, they might be lacking in other areas that, you know, we as coaches need to look at and be able to address. So it's, you know, it's been such a fun ride. Our community support has been unbelievable. You know, the reason I took this job is, you know, having seen Coach Corey build a program that's, you know, on and off the field, you know, the best in the state. So, you know, to be able to follow his footsteps and try to build something special and unique like that is a privilege I don't take lightly.
Marshall Cho is our guest, Lake Oswego boys basketball coach, University of Oregon graduate, born in South Korea, grew up in Springfield, Oregon, of course. You know, a lot, we've been talking a lot about social issues in the country. You grow up, you know, immigrating to the United States. My wife immigrated from Taiwan. I know that she has said on this show that she has never, doesn't want to compare and has never compared the, you know, the struggles she had as an immigrant to somebody who was growing up black in a country that had slavery 400 years ago. But what do you make of what's going on socially?
That's such a loaded question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get at it. You know, you and I had coffee a year ago, and the word that I've been sharing with you that's been on my heart and mind is access, right? Access to education, access to equal opportunity when it comes to sports, right? There's the pay to play model, whether it's through clubs or through, you know, athletic, you know, leagues, it leaves a lot of people out. You know, I'll say this, Springfield High School is where I graduated. You know, when I look at the demographic, the socioeconomic demographics of it now, it matches closely to McKay High School, which in the 6A classification, you know, when you look at the free and reduced lunch rates, it's very similar, right? But at the same time, you know, I had teachers who were dedicated in that public school system, and I got to reap the benefits of their hard work and sacrifice and attend college and get a graduate degree and all of that. You know, and a lot of people could point to me and say, hey, that's the model minority right there. If he can do it, you know, given, you know, the free and reduced lunch program he went through and the Pell grants that he got at University of Oregon, like, why couldn't somebody else? You know, I'll tell you this much. If you place me, instead of placing me at Centennial Elementary School in 1986 as a third grader, and you took me out and you placed me in the elementary school that I taught at in the same district in the South Bronx, where I began my teaching career as a seventh grade math teacher, I am not in the same place I am in today. You know, I didn't lift myself out from the bootstraps. I mean, if I had to go through what my students that I saw in my first 3 years in the South Bronx had to go through, it's a vastly different story. So, you know, there's degrees to it, but at the same time, you know, you and your wife might talk about the same thing. There's oftentimes, as an Asian American, I live in a black and white world where I don't know where I belong. And I think a lot of the things that's happening right now, whether, you know, a president using certain terms that, you know, I don't want to repeat on air, but it harkens back to my time when somebody said to me, hey, go back to China. Or, you know, it harkens back to time, maybe people think it's harmless, but, you know, I went through the progression of being Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan, Jet Li, Yao Ming, Jeremy Lin, you know, like, where there's a singular Asian American figure. And I think just being able to expand people's perception of what Asian Americans bring to this country, what we contribute in terms of our immigrant experience. Hopefully I'm in an area where I don't see a lot of other Asian American basketball coaches, but, you know, by you giving me a platform like this to speak today, or, you know, for other people to see that, you know, that's also an area that where we can excel in. I hope that that's an encouragement to somebody listening or watching, you know, me on the sidelines.
I think it's such a powerful thing to say that and to hear it, you know, coming from you, in that, you know, I can remember when Jeremy Lin was playing. My wife, who was born in Taiwan, was incredibly mm-hmm. proud. And I said to her, mm-hmm. why are you so proud? I was trying to get at what that was. And she said, because little Asian kids can grow up now and say, I can play in the NBA.
Yep, absolutely. I thought that too, John, but I peaked that tapped out at 5'8", so there was a cap on my career, but absolutely, you know, why not?
You've been at the college level. You were at University of Portland as, you know, director of operations. Do you someday want to get back to college? Is that a question mark? Team USA and your work there, do you see yourself internationally coaching? What's the future look like for Marshall Cho?
You know, I just want to be where I'm appreciated, I guess. I think that's a desire for everyone. On one hand, you know, I think just a chance again to build my own program and put my stamp on it, put my signature on it, and being on the journey with, you know, assistant coaches who went to Lake Oswego High School, who are invested into the well-being of the community. There's just nothing like it. You know, I got a chance to see that with Coach Jones at DeMatha Catholic, who's now the USA Junior National Team coach, but he was following a legend in Morgan Wooten, you know, the John Wooden of high school basketball. And, you know, he's a mentor and a friend of mine, and he gets that question every year, and yet, you know, he sticks around at DeMatha and has an impact there. So I have a template for what it looks like for, you know, mentors that I'd look up to where I can make this go for the next 20 years. But at the same time, you know, I'm constantly learning to grow. I'll never say never. But the priority has been for us, just a family lifestyle. You know, the college game really doesn't lend itself to allowing us to have a presence in you know, raising our kids. So that's something I think about often. You know, a side plug would be even just from seeing my younger brother, who's a Michelin-winning James Beard-nominated chef. You know, he left the grind of New York City restaurants, and he's, you know, running a restaurant, but doing it in such a manner where he can be around, you know, and seeing his kids, you know, grow up. All our kids are, you know, interacting and growing up together as cousins. So that's been a priority. If anything changes, you know, then, you know, I'll have to look at it. But right now, like you mentioned, I'm in it for the good fight, and I'm glad to be in it with a bunch of people that I care about and that I look up to.
I love that. Marshall Cho is our guest. All right, before I cut you loose, high school football to me feels iffy. I think if colleges are struggling maybe to kind of conceptualize what's going to happen, I just don't see testing being widely available. But from a basketball standpoint, you're working with a little more time. What plans are you making? What discussions are happening? Or is it a wait and see right now?
Yeah, it feels like a wait and see. I actually have a 4 o'clock call with our athletic department and all the head coaches, and we're going to talk about the OSA phase one and phase two guidelines. So, you know, we'll see. You know, I, again, being a parent to two young kids, you know, thinking about all the parents, you know, and I'm sure it's really different having high school teenage, you know, age kids who want their independence and want to be out. I know I can control my elementary school age kids a little bit better than that. You know, it's an easier job for me, I think, right now. But at the same time, being a parent, I don't know if I feel comfortable, you know, if I were to have a setup in a gym and somebody gets sick, you know, and some, you know, others might, you know, accuse me of being paranoid or, you know, not, you know, not or not letting this, you know, COVID control my life. But I have to look at the practical application of how I'm going to do my work. You know, you mentioned our winning team this past year. We pride ourselves on defense. Our practices are very physical. You know, our guys work really hard. I mean, and they're in it, you know. So how do you actually execute, you know, a practice plan that allows them to simulate that? I have a hard time seeing it. I'm generally an optimist, but I hope that my pessimistic side on this proves to be wrong, because I'd love to have a season. I'd love for our seniors to have that, you know, have that opportunity to chase another championship.
Marshall Cho, I appreciate what you do. Keep doing you, and travel safely with your family. We'll get you back on closer to when the season is supposed to start. Thanks for making time for us.
Thank you so much.
There he is, Lake Oswego High School. Love interviews like that. I think he's smart. I think he gets it. And I think he's been put in the place that he is for a reason. And love that he's comfortable there. Marshall Cho, grab that podcast if you missed any of it. Share it with your friends. I think it's powerful stuff, and I think it's important. And I like sort of the overall message of what he is saying about opportunities and, you know, him imagining himself at a different elementary school growing up. What might have been different? I think about stuff like that all the time. Leave it right here. You got the bald-faced truth. This show's been sneaky good. Like, sometimes I look and I go, oh, this is going to be a great show. And then I finish the show and I'm like, eh, it was just okay. This show, I thought, look, I was a little nervous about Troy Franklin. I don't really like interviewing high school kids on a regular basis or counting on it, but he was a home run. He surprised. And then Marshall Cho just hit a grand slam in that last segment. I don't know if you listened to it. If you didn't, grab the podcast. Alabama Adriana's working on it now. It'll be available on SoundCloud and iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Listen to Marshall Cho. Share it. I'm grateful that coaches like Marshall Cho are out there. For people who don't know his story, there were a lot of parents at Lake Oswego High School or people in that community that were snickering and laughing when they hired him. He had no previous experience. He had his international experience, and all he has done at Lake Oswego is come in and run that program extremely well. Home run hire there. Judah Newby, you heard Marshall Cho. What were your thoughts?
You see a lot of high school basketball coaches, high school coaches in general, that you're like, ah, really? Like, they're in that position? They're forming the youth of America? And then you get a conversation with Marshall Cho, and just as a high school athletics fan in general, I'm like, that's the type of guy that I would love my son or my daughter to play for. Like, that's the guy I want shaping the character of the future youth of this country, and both on and off the field. I think he promotes such an outstanding culture, and I could talk to him for a long time. I'm jealous of your coffee conversations with him. That sounds a lot of fun.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of times people ask to get coffee with me, and they want something. Marshall Cho just said, hey, how can we work together to create some opportunities for some...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.